Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. This Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcasts at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast or a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from NHK World Radio Japan, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, and Radio Havana, Cuba. We will begin with NHK World Radio Japan. AUKUS, A-U-K-U-S, is a military alliance between Australia, the UK, and the US. Part of the agreement is to get Australia to accept nuclear-powered submarines, which could be fitted with nuclear weapons in the future, and to increase pressure on China and its developments in the South China Sea. Asian nations are very concerned about the increased militarism in the area. At the opening of the new UN's General Assembly, Secretary General Guterres said the world is at the edge of an abyss and needs to wake up. The Chinese president criticized the formation of AUKUS as a zero-sum game and pledged to work toward the reduction of coal-fired power plants. The Taliban have made a written request to speak at the UN Assembly while struggling with having all international aid cut off. The White House says it will look into the U.S. drone strike that killed 10 Afghan civilians last month. NHK Japan.
The presidents of the United States and France are set to speak over the phone in the coming days. It'll be their first talk since a diplomatic row erupted over Australia's decision to cancel its submarine deal with France. Australia decided to scrap its plan to develop submarines with France and instead opted for U.S. and U.K. technological support to acquire its first nuclear-powered submarines. The United States and United Kingdom will provide the assistance to Australia under their new security partnership called AUKUS. The three nations unveiled the framework last week, apparently aimed at keeping China in check. France has recalled its ambassadors to the U.S. and Australia in protest after the termination of the multi-billion dollar deal. Attention is focused on whether U.S. President Joe Biden and his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron, will be able to stop the situation from deteriorating further and restore a degree of trust. Now, Southeast Asian nations are voicing concern the new security framework may raise tensions. Malaysia's prime minister told his Australian counterpart on Friday, AUKUS could potentially provoke other powers to act more aggressively, especially within the South China Sea region. Indonesia's foreign ministry issued a statement saying the country is deeply concerned over the area's continuing arms race and power projection. The Philippines' defense secretary stressed his nation's stance of neutrality on the security arrangement. He said Manila wants to maintain good bilateral defense relations with all countries in the region. AUKUS is likely to be discussed at an ASEAN summit scheduled for late October. Now, the moves drew strong criticism from North Korea. A foreign ministry statement says the program threatens regional peace and stability, as well as the international nuclear non-proliferation system. The statement adds its natural neighboring countries, including China, condemn these actions as irresponsible. It also vows corresponding counteraction by Pyongyang if the United States has even a small adverse impact on North Korea's security.
Next, to the United Nations headquarters, where the UN chief used the world's largest diplomatic gathering to sound an alarm. Antonio Guterres lectured leaders at the General Assembly on Tuesday about their responses to the pandemic and climate change. He says the world is on the edge of an abyss and people need to wake up.
Yet instead of humility in the face of these epic challenges, we see hubris. Instead of the path of solidarity, we are on a dead end to destruction. At the same time, another disease is spreading in our world today, a malady of mistrust.
Guterres told them they face the greatest cascade of crises of our time. And he urged them to bridge what he called their great divide. Chinese President Xi Jinping used his speech to make a veiled warning against U.S. interference.
Differences and problems among countries need to be handled through dialogue and cooperation, as equals and based on mutual respect. The practice of forming small circles or zero-sum games should be rejected.
The United States just launched a new security alliance with Britain and Australia. It already had the Quad with Japan, Australia, and India. The groups aim to guard against Chinese threats to the region. Xi mentioned no specific parties, but seemed to criticize U.S. actions in Afghanistan.
Recent developments in the global situation show once again that external military intervention from the outside and so-called democratic transformation entail nothing but harm.
On climate change, Xi said China will step up support for developing countries to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. He added that his country will not launch any new coal-fired power projects abroad. Xi also touched on the pandemic. He promised to donate another 100 million vaccine doses to developing nations by the end of the year.
The Taliban have made a written request to give an address to the gathered world leaders at the UN General Assembly. Observers say the move reflects the Taliban's plan to have the international community recognize them as the legitimate rulers of Afghanistan. A UN deputy spokesperson told NHK that Secretary General Antonio Guterres received the request in the form of a letter from the Taliban interim government on Monday. The letter asks the UN to allow Amir Khan Muttaqi, currently in charge of diplomacy, to participate in the meeting. Last week, Guterres also received a letter from the currently accredited Afghan ambassador to the UN, Ghulam Isakzai, who had been appointed by the former Afghan president Ashraf Ghani. The UN's Credentials Committee will decide how the matter should be dealt with. Meanwhile, Taliban spokesperson Zabiullah Mujahid announced on Tuesday that the interim government has appointed businessman Haji Nuruddin Azizi as its commerce minister with a brief to right the economy. An ongoing economic crisis has been causing increasing concern. Making things worse is a drought that threatens to leave millions of people hungry. Foreign aid payments, which once equated to around half of Afghanistan's GDP, have essentially stopped as the West considers how to deal with the Taliban.
The White House says it supports an investigation of a U.S. drone strike last month that killed 10 civilians in Afghanistan. U.S. Press Secretary Jen Psaki spoke to reporters about President Joe Biden's response to the deadly attack.
His reaction is it's a tragedy, and every loss is a tragedy, and he supports the effort to move this forward as quickly as possible and to have a thorough investigation.
When asked if anyone would be held accountable, Psaki dodged the question. She said at the time, U.S. troops in Kabul were under threat.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan. They are now heard from 9:30 to 10 p.m. at 7245 and 7355 or on the web at www.3.nhk.or.jp. Next, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. First, a more in-depth report on the opening of the new UN General Assembly. Biden said that the U.S. was not seeking a new Cold War or a world divided into blocs, just a few days after announcing the military alliance with the U.K. and Australia, clearly aimed at China. And continental Europe is questioning the support it can expect from the United States. UN Secretary General Guterres called the international community heavy on self-centeredness and short on empathy. He said that the global inequality on vaccines was obscene. Biden announced that the U.S. will double its donation of vaccines globally, though only 15% of the first half have been distributed so far. Both Germany and Australia, as well as France, are worried about the radicalization of anti-vaxxers. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
Leaders from around the world are in New York City at the United Nations General Assembly, a week of meeting and greeting that was impossible last year due to the coronavirus pandemic. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres today issued a wake-up call to the world, offering a blistering indictment of countries failing their own citizens and each other.
I'm here to sound the alarm. The world must wake up. We are on the edge of an abyss and moving in the wrong direction. Our world has never been more threatened or more divided. We face the greatest cascade of crises in our lifetimes. The quiet alarm bells are also ringing at fever pitch. The recent report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change was a code red for humanity. Now is the time to restore trust, and now is the time to inspire hope. And I do have hope. The problems we have created are problems we can solve. Humanity has shown that we are capable of great things when we work together. And that is the raison d'etre of our United Nations.
Yeah, the UN General Assembly adds an opportunity to maintain and build relationships with one very unexpected exception this year. Today, the foreign minister of France said that he has no intention of meeting his U.S. counterpart, the U.S. Secretary of State, this week. A cold shoulder from Paris to Washington. France is fuming over a trilateral security pact between the U.S., the U.K., and Australia, saying it was stabbed in the back by allies who kept the deal secret. I want you to listen to what U.S. President Biden said today in his debut address at the U.N.
The United States will compete and will compete vigorously and lead with our values and our strength. We'll stand up for our allies and our friends and oppose attempts by stronger countries to dominate weaker ones, whether through changes to territory by force, economic coercion, technical exploitation, or disinformation. But we're not seeking, say it again, we are not seeking a new Cold War or a world divided into rigid blocks.
Our international editor, Richard Walker, he is at the UN in New York City. Good evening to you, Richard. I want to pick up on what the U.S. president said in just a moment, but another world leader is making news just in the last couple of minutes. Tell us what you know.
Yeah, that's right, Brent. So a lot of focus on Joe Biden, on the drama of Antonio Guterres' comments, and of course, the strife between the United States and France. But some of the biggest and most consequential news actually coming from China's president, Xi Jinping, who in his pre-recorded message to the UN General Assembly announced, almost just slipped in there, that China would stop building coal-fired power stations around the world. Now, this is seen as significant because China's Belt and Road, its huge international infrastructure initiative, has been a major driver of coal power stations outside China around the world, particularly in developing countries. There's been a concern about the U.S. and China slipping into a kind of a Cold War confrontation ever since the latter half of the Trump presidency. But this has taken on almost an even greater intensity under Joe Biden. There's been a lot of concern, but from people like the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, that this showdown between the U.S. and China is going to get in the way of working together on some of the most important issues facing mankind. Of course, we heard the urgency of the messages from Guterres in the clips just earlier.
The U.S. president, he found himself today with the task of mollifying French anger over that AUKUS security pact. Biden also finds himself having to convince the world that America is back, his America is back mantra is not a kinder, gentler version of Trump's America First. Did he succeed today?
Yeah, well, the jury's still out on that, Brent, but it's certainly true that the French are mightily annoyed about what the Americans and the Australians have done, pulling the plug on a long-established deal between France and Australia and kind of going their own way. And the signal that the French seem to be interpreting this and others on continental Europe, too, is that there's a kind of like a two classes of U.S. allies, a signal that somehow the Anglosphere or this Indo-Pacific region are more important to the United States than these very long-standing allies in continental Europe. So the U.S. is going to have to do some homework, I think, to patch things up with the Europeans. Now, of course, you know, the alliance, the transatlantic alliance, goes back a very long way. It's not something that can be undone by a single decision. But what it will do is contribute to a debate that's been kind of bubbling in Europe, mostly in think tank circles. But I can think we can expect it to expand about whether Europe needs to be more independent, whether it needs to come out a little bit from under the United States' shadow. This will only contribute to that debate in the months and years ahead.
And Richard, the UN Security or Secretary General today, he did not hold back with his criticism of an international community that is heavy on self-centeredness and short on empathy. Have we ever seen Antonio Guterres like this before?
Yeah, it was really powerful language, wasn't it? I mean, that one word I think is going to stick out for me from today's talks more than any other. Him calling it an obscenity, the inequality between the rich countries and the rest of the world over vaccination. The fact that 6 billion vaccine doses have been administered worldwide, but only 2% of those have been administered in the continent of Africa. I think you're hearing the exasperation of a man who's been making warnings like this for some time and just feels his message is not getting across. And it's not just on COVID. It's on climate change. It's on global poverty. It's on a whole range of issues. I think you're hearing the frustration here of a man trying to bring the international community together back here in this building in New York and feeling it's not coming together.
DW's international editor, Richard Walker.
Joe Biden has announced that the United States will double its global donation of COVID-19 vaccine doses to lower and middle income countries, bringing its total commitment to 1 billion doses. Mr. Biden convened a COVID-19 virtual summit of world leaders on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. The White House says the goal is to vaccinate 70% of the global population by September of next year. DW's Washington correspondent Oliver Sallet gave us his analysis.
Yeah, that would be really a new phase in the vaccine rollout, certainly a shift from a national approach to a global one, to an international one. So the plan of the EU and the United States is to get 70% of the world population vaccinated in just 1 year from now. So that would be essentially herd immunity we're talking about, and that by donating those vaccines to those countries. And the EU and the US want to put together a task force to speed up the production and the delivery. So that's basically the bottleneck and the biggest problem so far. WHO also said that only 15% of the promised vaccine doses have been delivered so far. So certainly a lot of room for improvement.
DW's Oliver Sallet reporting from Washington.
Following the killing of a petrol station clerk in Germany over the weekend, senior politicians have warned about the radicalization of people who oppose the country's pandemic restrictions. The 20-year-old worker was shot dead in the western town of Idar-Oberstein after he asked a customer to wear a face mask. A 49-year-old man is in custody on suspicion of murder.
Hundreds of construction workers have rioted in the Australian city of Melbourne. This comes after the state government mandated COVID-19 vaccines for all building site workers. Riot police tried to control the crowd that brawled and smashed union office windows. All construction sites have been shut down for 2 weeks in response.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com, as well as on YouTube at their channel called DW News. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could assist me by supporting this listener-funded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Please help me continue producing this weekly show, which I freely distribute to radio stations and the internet, like a very good listener in Willits did this week. Thank you. We will conclude with Radio Havana, Cuba. The UN Secretary General implored that the U.S. and China repair their completely dysfunctional relationship. He also called on the U.S. to meet its commitment to a global climate fund. The Bolivian President Arce affirmed that the OAS does not represent Latin America, but rather interferes with it. A region of Bolivia is demanding a trial against former coup leader Jeanine Añez. Then a viewpoint on the ongoing and historic role U.S. banks have played in laundering illegal drug money. Radio Havana, Cuba.
Antonio Guterres, United Nations Secretary General, has warned of a potential new Cold War between China and the United States and implored the two major powers to repair their, quote, completely dysfunctional relationship. Quote, we need to avoid at all costs a Cold War that would be different from the past one and probably more dangerous and more difficult to manage, Guterres said ahead of the annual United Nations General Assembly gathering of world leaders, a convening blemished by COVID-19, climate concerns, and contention across the planet. Guterres said the world's two major economic powers should be cooperating on climate and negotiating on trade and technology more robustly, even given persistent political fissures about human rights, economics, online security, and sovereignty in the South China Sea. Guterres said in an interview with the Associated Press, quote, unfortunately, today we only have confrontation. We need to reestablish a functional relationship between the two powers, adding that it is, quote, essential to address the problems of vaccination, the problems of climate change, and many other global challenges that cannot be solved without constructive relations within the international community and mainly among superpowers. 2 years ago, Guterres warned global leaders of the risk of the world splitting into two camps, with the U.S. and China creating rival internets, currency, trade, and financial rules. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has hosted a roundtable discussion with world leaders on the climate crisis, calling on nations, including the United States, to meet their commitments to a $100 billion a year climate fund. Guterres' call came just weeks before the United Nations is set to convene a crucial climate summit in Glasgow, Scotland. Guterres said, quote, my message this morning and to the Conference of Parties in November is that we need decisive action now to avert climate catastrophe. And for that, we need solidarity. Saving these and future generations is a common responsibility. Bolivian President Luis Arce has affirmed that the Organization of American States, the OAS, does not represent Latin America. He made the comments during an interview given on his visit to Mexico to participate in the sixth summit of the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, CELAC. The president said in a special interview for Telesur following the CELAC summit, CELAC was created precisely because it was a body that represents us. The OAS no longer represents us. There are other interests and others who determine what happens in the OAS. In CELAC, we feel represented. Arce's affirmation was in spite of the political and ideological differences that exist within the regional mechanism. In this sense, he said, there is a need for an international organization that watches over democracy, that does not interfere. In our case, we have seen it firsthand. There was a marked interference by the OAS in the November 2019 elections in Bolivia. Arce reiterated that the OAS interfered in the process by making reports that were not part of the agreement signed between the organization and the government. The interference, he said, and participation of the OAS in the coup d'etat were evident. A conclave of the six union federations of the Bolivian Tropic of Cochabamba Department has demanded a criminal trial against the former de facto leader, Jeanine Añez. The demand was announced by the former president of Bolivia and leader of the movement towards socialism, Evo Morales. He gave details about the realization of the Union Forum and the proposed advance by Education, Health and Transportation Commission. The commission approved a resolution accusing the de facto ruler and her accomplices of violating the right to education with the interruption of the school year in 2020. According to the unionists, with the forced closure of the school year, the de facto government violated the Constitution constitutional rights to education of thousands of children, especially from indigenous populations and from the Tropic of Cochabamba. Evo Morales said, quote, not content with robbing the state and massacring the people in order to subjugate us, they try to condemn us to ignorance. That is the policy of the right wing.
The United States is the main market for drug consumption worldwide, but behind the degrading image of the addict stripped of all of his dignity, there's a flourishing business with surprising ramifications such as the laundering of money generated by trafficking. There are many versions of the wealth generated by the illicit sale of narcotics, but they are all in some way integrated into the global financial system and even sustain it at times. Marcos Kaplan, in his work Economía Criminal y Lavado de Dinero, published by the Boletín Mexicano de Derecho Comparado, points out that thanks to the United States' demand and other rich countries, drug trafficking is the first big business in the world, bigger than arms and hydrocarbons. According to a report by the Global Financial Integrity Organization in the Americas, this form of organized crime generates between $80 billion and $90 billion every year, which is returned to the legal economy through complex mechanisms. Much of the dirty business of money laundering that originates from illegal activity into assets is done through the U.S. financial system. Kaplan states that in the United States, the laundering centers are based in Miami in South Florida, Los Angeles, New York, the southwest border from Brownsville, Texas to Tijuana. He added that in Miami, drugs are a fundamental part of the local culture and a pillar of its economy. Billions of dollars are moved each year between Latin America and the United States through Florida's banks. This is not just happening there, as Europe is also actively involved in asset laundering, as well as other places that attract the attention of the Financial Action Task Force, an intelligence body dedicated, among other things, to combating money laundering. However, the United States claims to be the world champion of democracy and human rights, but it cannot hide the fact that there's something odd going on there. In one of the previous commentaries, we mentioned that several banks in the northern nation profited from the slave trade. Now, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, American Express Bank, and Western Union, among others, have been indicted for money laundering. Do as I say, not as I do, could be Joe Biden's advice to his colleagues at the upcoming Summit on Democracy, Human Rights, and Counterterrorism convened by Washington.
Those reports and viewpoint were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's website is working well at radiohc.cu, though the podcasts are not updated. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140, and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, or 6100. All the times I announce are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcasts, get a global perspective. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at my website along with a podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. This shortwave report, which is now in its 25th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.